When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
In collaboration with our book club, we invited Nedra Glover-Tawov, author of the book Set Boundaries, Find Peace, to talk about the importance of setting boundaries and allowing people around us to do the same. We talked about what is a boundary and why are they so necessary to have better relationships, and what to do if someone disrespects your boundaries, but also how to respect other people's boundaries. If you like the episode, don't forget to rate and share it. Welcome to another episode of Se Regalan Dudas. We're here back with one of our favorite topics, not only ours, but our community. And my personal work of life literally is around setting boundaries, making sure that I feel allowed to set a boundary, and everything that has to do with boundaries. I grew up not even knowing this word or like what came with it, its consequences of not having boundaries, or what it actually, the beautiful world that comes after you set boundaries. So I don't know, for me personally, is a beautiful day to have this conversation. And also, we're going to introduce our author in a little bit, but it was so beautiful to read this in Spanish. There's very few content available in our language that talks about boundaries in a very boundless society that Latin America tends to be.
I'm excited for our guest. I know her book is amazing and we're gonna add it to our book club very soon. But I think coming from our Latin American culture, it's very difficult to even imagine your own person and setting boundaries, even as we were growing up, right? Because there's such a sense of family where the lines are not even drawn.
Completely blurred.
They're completely blurred. And there's even, I would say, a guilty feeling whenever you decide something for yourself and you say, I don't like this. I don't want to do this. I don't like how you guys are doing things. I'm going to do my own thing. And I feel like even though I'm now an adult and I've tried to understand life in a different way, I still have this feeling behind me of how not to maybe upset people I love the most, but still be loyal and respectful to my own self and what I know is true for me, right? So I'm very excited about what we're about to explore because I feel it's just going to liberate us in so many ways.
Yeah.
So our guest today
is Nedra Tawab, and we are so excited to have you here. She just released her book in Spanish. So welcome to Se Regalan Dudas.
Thank you for having me.
We're so excited. I have the first question for you, and it comes with our different personalities. Letty's someone that I see her as a business partner and as a best friend, and boundaries come more naturally for her. And for me, it's been, like I said, the life work. Like, I've literally had to spend learning and doing this. So I wanted you to walk us to, like, what gives these two types of personalities and perspective, or maybe concepts around boundaries that are so different?
Our boundaries are influenced by our upbringing, our experiences, and of course, our personality. There are some people who just are naturally a bit more assertive, and there are some who are naturally a bit more reserved in how they say things, and how we're able to speak our boundaries is really impacted by who we are.
Totally.
Right. So it's more of like an upbringing situation, because I feel, maybe I'm wrong, but I feel like boundaries might be difficult for some people in some ways. But like I think she observes me or observes the type of people that usually like set boundaries, and we might do it very easily in some aspects of life. But then again, there's certain things like even though I'm really good at setting boundaries at work and very good at setting boundaries at like friendships, I also find myself at times whenever I'm really in love or in a relationship that all my boundaries start to blur and somehow I get lost in that relationship without knowing what was coming. So I don't know if setting boundaries, it's like a black or white situation where you just got it all figured out. Or is it more that according to your upbringing and what you thought you could do or not do, where you could say no, where you could say yes, where you would be accepted, maybe there's some areas of our lives where we feel more comfortable, maybe setting these boundaries, and then some areas where we just do not feel comfortable at all. And we don't know when it happened, but somehow we stepped on ourselves so many times.
Yeah, like some of us feel very comfortable setting boundaries with our friends, but we don't feel so comfortable doing it with our family members. Or we may feel comfortable being upfront about what we want or need at work, but not so much with our partners. So it really depends on where you feel safest, to be honest, because sometimes we don't feel safe in those family relationships because we know there will be a consequence. People will be upset at us. They may give us a silent treatment or be defensive, any of those things, which really keeps you from setting a boundary.
Is there, as you like, I know you've done like years of this work, and I love that you also do like relationship therapy. And I saw through your whole book this phrase you repeat over and over again, that the boundaries, maybe I'm translating it wrong, so correct me, like the boundaries actually set our relationship and the quality of it, right? So like how we interact, like I would like us, you to walk, like the people that are listening, like why our relationship such a like setters to say in the relationships we're in?
Well, boundaries let people know what's okay and what's not okay. It's kind of like a code of conduct for your relationships, a rule book, an owner's manual. It is a way for people to know this is what I can do with Nedra. This is what's okay in our relationship. It doesn't mean that you can't do it in other relationships. It just means that in this particular relationship, she hates it when I blank, or it really bothers her when blank, because our relationships function best when they are. Sometimes we try to apply a one-size-fits-all approach to everyone. Everyone has to have this same rule, and it's not necessary. You mentioned earlier, like this black and white sort of thing. There are relationships where we don't even need to state the boundary because people just automatically get it. Like, especially with friends, sometimes we're picking our friends, and we're typically picking people who are like us. So there are some boundaries that might not need to be stated. We're picking our work environment. So we may pick an environment that works really well for us. So depending on the relationship, you may have to change, shift, or even introduce a new boundary.
How can someone know if they have unhealthy boundaries and what are the consequences? Because I feel like when we talk boundaries, if you've not done the work, if you've not read the books, if you don't have this information, you may be like, oh, I don't need that. Like, I'm good. My life is good. How can we tell in our daily lives if we don't have healthy boundaries in our relationships, in our work, in everything? And
well,
what's the price?
Our feelings, when we're feeling upset, frustrated, resentful, when we're feeling overwhelmed, when we're anxious about interacting with certain people, when we're feeling hopeless about certain situations, those are all indicators that we may need some boundaries to help us feel better about our relationship or our life.
There's so many people that grow up thinking they can't set boundaries, right? I think that was like my feeling during my teen years, that I was there to kind of like attach or adapt myself to a certain situation, right? To like, either if it was my mom, my dad, my siblings, like I was always like, oh, this is how it is. And so I might as well either become like moldable, like fix myself to the situation, or like completely detached. What are some steps for people that are, maybe you're listening to this and is the first time like, oh, I'm actually very resentful with my siblings, or I'm very resentful with my partner, my mom, and they maybe don't know better. You know what I mean? Like, they've never, like Letty said, been introduced, but at the same time, think there's no way to actually set a boundary because they haven't set it up for years.
Mm-hmm. Well, it would be helpful to know what those issues are directly. So make a list and start with the thing that you think is pressing at this time. So if it's, you know, with your siblings, you're the youngest and they're still trying to boss you around and tell you what to do, that is the thing that you need to speak to. Hey, I understand you all care about me and you want me to do well, but I also need to be able to manage my life and make my own decisions. So as I'm telling you things, please listen and don't tell me what to do because I want to be able to figure it out.
Now, what happens when you have this assertive communication like the one I just heard, right? You clearly say what, how, in a very respectful and beautiful way. But from what I've observed, when we set a boundary to someone that has abused that boundary for a long time, they do not like it, right? So what if you do set this boundary and you do say how you're feeling, what you'd like to happen, what you don't like, and this person just doesn't want to respect that boundary? And also, adding to this question, I would like to know how to deal with when it's about someone you want to keep close. Because there's many times when you're like, you know what, I'm going to set this boundary. And
I quit. I don't care.
I quit, or I am not going to go into a personal space with my boss any longer. But what if it's your sister who you want to continue a life with, but you just can't tolerate certain things? And whenever you clearly tell her and try to set a boundary, she just doesn't care because for 30 years, she has crossed that line over and over and over.
And you've allowed her.
And you've allowed her, of course. Let's take responsibility too.
Yeah. So when you've communicated the boundary and someone continuously violates what your boundary is, you have to change your relationship with that person. And it doesn't mean ending the relationship, but it could be not talking to them about particular things. It could be when they say something, you have something to say back to let them know, hey, we've talked about this. This is not okay for you to continue to explore with me. It will be you changing your behavior because once you ask someone, you know, hey, here's my boundary, and they're unwilling to meet that need, you have to meet your own need. And sometimes that is you doing the uncomfortable thing of, well, maybe I can't see my sister or talk to her 7 days a week. Maybe I only could talk to her 5, and I need the other 2 to just have sister rest, whatever that is. But you figure out what is a rhythm that works best for you, particularly when you're not ready to leave a relationship with a person.
I personally struggle a lot with holding a limit. Okay, so let's, whatever limit that I set, it takes me a long time to figure out what's the limit. Then I'm like, convinced, assertive. I'm like, yes, this is the limit I'm going to set. And my entire body and I want to keep the limit. But I struggle with like holding it sometimes, more as a younger, not as an adult, but like it's like this constant, it doesn't even have to do anything with the other person. I sometimes put a boundary and then immediately feel not guilt, it's more like fear. So I wanted to talk about that. Like, what do we do with this limits that we are like, do we get to set them up 1 in 10 times over and over again until we get it right? What do we do if...
Because is a boundary if you don't respect it?
Hold it,
if you
exactly.
Don't hold it?
I don't know.
I mean, it can still be a boundary, but here's the thing. You determine what your limit is. There's no rule. Like, after 5 times, stop. There is no hard rule there. You know your breaking point. It could be once, it could be twice, it could be 200 times. You figure out, I am tired of saying this thing. I have shocked myself with the moments at which I tend to be fed up with something. It's usually like something small. It's like, oh my gosh, they left their shoe here. And I'm like, that is it. Like, this is the time for me to be fed up with this other stuff. So we really determine what that time is. And people can't say, like, you know, after 1 time of this, you should do blank. What is your breaking point? Usually we don't have to ask other people because we naturally get to it. Sometimes when we're thinking about leaving a relationship or we're really upset about something, that's all we need to be, is upset. It's not a time to make a decision about what to do next in a relationship because you're not ready. When you're ready, you'll do it.
Yeah. And like, I also think, like, do we get to set the breaking point ourselves, or is it just it happens? Like, I'm now thinking about, you said about the shoes, like how many times around many situations of our lives, we didn't know that was the breaking point. You know what I mean? You started your day normally and then you see the fucking shoe and you're like, this is it. This is my divorce. You know what I mean? Like, we don't actually get, you don't actually get to pick the breaking point. We think we do, but I think we don't get to pick it. Do we though?
I think it's a bit of both. Maybe we do. We do have choice in it. Like, the shoe doesn't have to be the breaking point. That's still a choice. You are still saying, this will be my end. You know, like, this is it for me. So you still have a choice in what you want to do next. But yes, sometimes it comes out of the blue. You don't plan it. You're not thinking, this is the day I'm going to stop talking to my best friend. But it could be something that happened that day and you're like, okay, this was the, I can't take anymore.
There's a post that I saw that you made a few weeks ago.
I love your social media.
Yeah, I love your social media. That really, really stuck with me. And I think it has to do with everything that's in your book and what we've talked about. But I would like to see if you can farther elaborate, because it was so powerful reading it. And I don't know if I knew the extent of what it meant. I'm just starting to like realize it now. But it said, truths that are hard to hear. People are doing what you allow. When people take advantage, you have no boundaries and you have a choice. And I feel that when we are standing as victims, we don't understand these three things that you posted, right? Because we feel like we're being, like the other person is the guilty person here. Like, I'm just a victim. But we forget that as adults, we're making choices every day of who we allow ourselves to like be around us, how we allow those people to treat us. And I know it might sound easy when saying it, but if you had an upbringing that abused this situation where you could definitely not choose and where you were just, people were just doing whatever they wanted to do while you were probably being hurt. So I don't know. Could you further elaborate in this truths that are hard to hear as a responsible adult?
Yeah, we normalize a lot of mistreatment because we feel like it is part of being in relationships with people. We know it's not true because we all have some relationships where we're not being mistreated. So perhaps that is the norm. Perhaps the norm is for people to be respectful and kind if we're to be in relationships with them. But we do allow certain things because we give meaning to it. We'll say, well, this person is going through this, or this person, you know, they had a bad day. And we are choosing to put ourselves in harmful, unhealthy, non-productive relationships. And we have to be very careful about who we allow in our space and why we're doing that to ourselves.
I love that. You talk about different topics in your book, one of them being the boundaries of social media and what we not only allow, like this idea that we can consume whatever, like we feel like we have no choice, right? And we talk about this a lot in our podcast. We like sometimes forget we get to choose who we follow, and we get to choose how some, like if there's an account you don't like. But like, I feel like as a society, we're just entering a world where social media has become part of our lives. Your work, like we found it through social media. We are connected through this huge Latino community that we have that's like only on social media. I would like you to walk us a little bit through, like, why is it so important to actually set limits, not only on our physical life, but in our digital life as well?
Well, we know that social media causes mental health issues depending on who we're following, what we're consuming, how we're engaging in social media spaces. So it is very important that we curate the space to fit what we need. If we want to shop, follow shopping people. If you're on a budget, maybe don't follow them. If you want some positive positive vibes, follow people who are saying, you know, positive things. Don't follow the people who are like, oh my gosh, this is what's happening in the world. The world is a terrible place. You pick your energy. It is your social media feed. Recently, I've been encouraging people to start fresh, because sometimes when we're following friends, families, coworkers, we do feel a way when we have to unfollow those people or mute those people. You can have multiple accounts. You don't have to use that account that you feel like you have all these obligations to follow these people. Start a new account. Name it Joyful 29. maybe not that. That's probably taken. Maybe Joyful underscore 29 underscore.
And that's your people.
Yeah, and follow what actually feels good to you, not the things that you feel, oh, I should follow this person. I give people an Instagram account I don't use all the time. I'm like, oh, look it up on here. This is me. Now, but you know, it's like you pick your engagement level.
We forget, especially I feel like with the digital space, sometimes we feel so responsible to like you said, someone comes up at a dinner and it's like, oh, this is me. And then you follow them and you're like in a 10-year journey with a girl you met on a vacation for once. You know what I mean? It's like,
yes,
it's like, stop. Yes. We don't need to do it, but we feel responsible, or as if it would be mean, you know what I mean, to do that.
In those situations, I just say, okay. I had a lady once who was braiding my hair, and she was like, look up my page on Instagram. And I looked it up and she was like, that's me right there. Follow me. I was like, okay, I don't have to follow you. Like, I don't want to look at hairstyles. I don't. Like, I know how to go to Instagram and say hairstyles.
And find the one you want. Yeah.
Yeah. You find the one you want. I don't want to follow you to see your new hairstyle every day. That's not something I'm into. It's just not.
So talking about this, I want to like tap into this, because I feel like, isn't it all like, it is not only a struggle to set boundaries as a society we struggle with, we have a problem sometimes when people set boundaries. How can we good at, like, I wish as the best friend of Letty that I can hold the space for her to put limits whenever she wants it. You know, like, I want to be that friend that you can say no and I could be like, okay, like I'm taking, or you can say yes. If you used to normally say no and now you say yes, I want to be the person where like my siblings, my parents, whoever I'm around is allowed to set their boundaries, and like me being comfortable with it. I think it's like a beautiful thing you can do for someone else. How do we become better at accepting the boundaries other people set, especially ones that change? Like, especially like you reach an age that I used to go out and party all the time, and now you know what? I want to lay on my couch. Like, that's just, I'm not your party girl anymore. How do we become a person that's accepting of the boundaries of others?
Practice. We are already in this space of doing better with this. When you were probably 2 or 3 years old, if you went to a store and you saw a bunch of candy and your parents told you no, you probably flipped out, tried to kick all the candy over. They had to drag you out the store. That was you when you were a kid, right? Now, if someone tells you no, you're just like, ouch. You're not kicking. You're not crying. You're not, ah! You may feel that on the inside, you may not like it, but you have learned to regulate how you respond to being told no. It is, that happens because you have practiced that. You have gotten to a point where you know, okay, this is not the appropriate response. So in adulthood, you're still practicing that. When you're receiving someone's boundary, even if you don't like it, you have to tap into that practice of, let me regulate myself so that they can be comfortable in this relationship with me. I do not need to guilt trip them, because that's what we do all the time. Why don't you want to come? I really want you to be there. Please. You're my only, you know, all of this stuff we do. And it's like, please let people tell you no. Please. It is healthy for them. They feel safe and comfortable in the relationship. It's such an important part of feeling heard, to just be allowed to have a boundary of, you know, hey, I can't talk to you today. Because there are so many people, you say that to them and they're like, why? Why can't you talk to me today? What's going on? It's let people not be available sometimes. Let people say no. Allow people space when they're asking for it. It's not you. Lots of times it's them. I am going through something and I'm not open to more conversations today. I don't know, but it is our job in relationships to get better at respecting those boundaries. And yes, it's uncomfortable. We're all coming from this space of being children, and we used to tantrum when we couldn't respect boundaries, and we're getting better. Hopefully by the time we're 80 or something, we're just like, oh, okay, fine. You know, you know, we need to be practicing this instead of fighting against it. And that's what we often do. We're like, how do I get this person out of their boundary with me? Don't do that. Allow them to have the boundary.
Wow. So beautiful.
I think also one of the biggest things that happens with when you're boundaryless, one of the things that I believe start happening is that in some ways you start betraying yourself, right? Because you didn't want to go and you went. You wanted to do something else and you ended up doing what everyone else was doing.
You wanted to say something you didn't say.
So, and that, I think that we always talk about boundaries in a very small scale. Like, I didn't want to go to this place and I ended up going. But when you take decision by decision and step by step without a boundary, I feel like the weight in a life style becomes very heavy. I've been that person and I've seen people, for example, follow dreams that they didn't want to follow, become mothers when they didn't want to become mothers, stay in their family business when they didn't want to do that. So I understand that when we put examples, it might be very simple, but I would love to see, with your experience and your research and your patience and your life work, if you could also explain the depth of not having boundaries, because it starts in small ways, but you end up living a life and being a person
you didn't even choose,
that you are not.
Yeah. And that's when people say things like, I don't know who I am. I'm rediscovering myself. I feel lost. How do I find myself? All of that is symbolic of not living your boundaries. It is symbolic of betraying yourself in an effort to people please, keep relationships, move through life with other people, and abandon yourself. It is not a healthy way of being, and it typically catches up with us that we are like, oh my gosh, wow, where did I go? Well, you're still in there. What do you want? What temperature do you like your water? What do you like to do for fun? What do you want to be when you grow up? All of those things are still in there for you. And your job becomes figuring out, like, oh my gosh, like, how do I get back to who I want to be and less away from this type of person I've become as a result of people pleasing?
Now, everything you're saying honestly sounds so beautiful and powerful. But where do we begin if we've been living for, I don't know, 20, 25, 30, 35, 40, 50 years in a different way and encouraged by a culture that tells you to do otherwise? Right now you're saying, like, what temperature do you like your water? Sometimes I'm asking myself, what do you want to eat today? And I don't know how to respond to that. You know, or do you want to go to this place or not? And since I've been so disconnected from my own needs and my own wants for such a long time, how do you begin that path of even knowing what you want? Because I believe that the first step to be able to set a boundary, right? First, you would need to know what you like for yourself. But what if you are so disconnected from that you can't even tell? Like, do I want to go to this place? Do I want to be with this person? Do I want to work here? Do I want to follow this path? And you don't find an answer within.
I challenge that to say, I think the answer is within and the fear is in the decision making. The answer is there. You're just afraid to say it because you're trying to make not a choice, but the right choice. So what'll happen if I get the cold water and I really wanted it room temperature? What do you want? If you get cold water and you say, oh my gosh, this hurts my teeth. Well, next time get room temperature water. If you move to New York and you say, oh my gosh, I hate it here. Go back to wherever you moved from. You know, like life is really flexible. Like, and that sounds like a big one, moving, but people move multiple times. If you move there, you can move back. So there's no like, I made the perfect decision. Decisions are good when they work out. Decisions are bad when they do not work out. We don't know what will work out and what won't.
Wow.
Especially you that love
I'm trying to process all this information, but it's difficult for me to make decisions, especially when they feel permanent. You know, I'm in that moment where I still don't know if I want to be a mother or not. And every day I think differently. And then I'm like, there's no going back from that. I'm not going to have a 3-year-old kid and then be like, hey,
thank you. It was great.
Thank you. It was a great experience. Bye. But yeah, I feel like I maybe have to start working in the small things to be able to actually see what I actually want and not what I've been told I should want.
I have one question for you. How do we deal, or I know you've done so much, like have seen hundreds of people. How do we deal with when we take a bad decision? Or like when we take like the consequences of some decisions we do? Do we get better at it? Do you practice the same as allowing other people? I think a lot of times when we don't take a decision, we are...
Life is taking a decision for you.
Not only is life taking a decision with you, we don't want to deal with the consequences of anything, of good or... Like, we just want someone to make a decision so maybe the consequence can be passed to the person that made it. Like, it's so easy when someone else takes a decision for you. You're like, oh, you told me to do this. This is your consequence, not mine. So, like, how do we deal with the consequences of setting a boundary and taking a decision?
I used to have a friend like that. She would say, help me with this thing. And then you would give her the answer. And then she would be like, see, it didn't work out. You told me to do X, Y, and Z. It's like, whoa, this is your life. And I got to a point where my boundary became, I'm not giving her the answers to her issues because I will not be blamed for the solution that I came up with. That was a choice for you to accept. It's a choice. So when you make a mistake, it is really important that you forgive yourself because you didn't go into it knowing that it wouldn't work out, that it would mess up, that, you know, something bad would happen. You made the choice thinking that I hope this works out. This will be a good idea, not the opposite. If you thought it was a bad idea, you wouldn't have did it, right? That is the first thing, that it is truly a mistake. It is truly a mistake. Forgive yourself knowing it is a mistake. And we have to normalize making mistakes. We make 20 of them a day at least. You know, if you think about whether it's putting on the wrong shoes, you get out the house like, oh my gosh, these hurt.
Yeah. Like, or that was not the street I should have taken. It was that one.
Yeah. You shake up a juice or something, that open it, and spill all of it. I mean, we make tons of mistakes. So it's normal to make them. Now, some mistakes have bigger consequences than others. However, as humans, we will make mistakes. And you have to remember you are human. You are not error prone. You are not error proof, that you too will make a mistake. You will make a bad decision. And hopefully it becomes a learning experience and you can do better next time.
For sure. There's something that I wanted to ask you, and I wrote it down here in my notes. It doesn't have anything to do with the book, but I did see you talk about it. And it's one of the questions we get asked the most from our community. And it's this thing about second chances, right? They're always asking, should I go back? How am I going to know if... And I know you have several questions or takes on how to make that decision. Could you please help us explain to our audience so maybe people can give some light from you in this area?
Well, I think really big questions you need to ask yourself is, what are you expecting to be different? Has the other person changed? Have you changed? Now, the tricky thing here is, has the other person changed? Changed is not them telling you that they will be different.
Yeah.
Because a lot of times we confuse that with change. Like, oh, they've changed. No.
Change they said is they not will a word. Change is yeah. not a word.
It's a verb.
Yes. Yes. So they said they will change, but what are they doing? Because they can be doing those things today. How have they already implemented the new things that they say that they're going to do? Are they doing it consistently? Because anybody could wake up tomorrow and say, I'm going to run every day and run that one day, right? So running every day would be you literally doing it every day. So what are they doing that you see as consistent? If someone hasn't changed and you feel like, well, I've changed enough to deal with them, can you really handle what needs to happen in that relationship if the person doesn't want to change? And the final question you should be asking yourself is, do you want more of what you already experienced? Do you want to repeat? If they are not wow. different, do you want to experience the same thing again? Because it typically happens. If we're breaking up with a partner who has been unfaithful and, you know, we get back with them and they still haven't changed their concept of fidelity, it typically happens again. They have to think differently about monogamy if that's what you're wanting in a relationship. Now, if you happen to say, well, I've changed my perspective, I no longer believe in monogamy, it could work. But if the two people have not changed those perspectives, you will repeat the issue.
Well, one of my last questions that I wanted to ask you is about all the work you've done with couples, right? We have a tour. We're like talking about, it's called the Love Tour. And we just go through like this myths of like what we thought love was going to be as a 33-year-old woman and like what it's like actually been and all the things we've had to relearn over and over again because of the concepts we grew up of life and everything. And this requires for us write a whole new definition in the manual of like what love is, what we allow people to say to us what love is, how we talk about it, how we walk about it. So I wanted to talk to you about what are like the limits that the people should have in their relationships the most.
In their romantic relationships.
Like what are some limits that should be like, we call it canasta básica, which is like this, the bare minimums that you should have in relationships.
So this is always a challenging question because every couple is different. And what I may see as a need for me may not be a need for you. I will say, I think the thing that is most important is to understand what your partner needs are. So communication is the number one thing. There are a lot of conversations we don't have in relationships. We need to know, you know, what type of relationship a person wants to have. What do they think, you know, infidelity is? What do you think about having friends who were former partners? Like, these are all questions we should be asking in relationships. How do you think we should appropriately use social media? Do you think it's okay for us to comment or post on certain things? Do you think those are things that we shouldn't do? Those conversations are really important. And I would say whatever those answers are, those are the things that you need in your particular relationship. There are some people who will say, I don't care about this or I don't care about that. So I wouldn't say, hey, discuss everything. You know, everything needs to be an issue because some things aren't. But with communication, you can really get to know your partner and build a relationship based on the needs of the two people in the relationship.
And also, I could probably imagine no matter what it is that you need and that your partner needs to make sure that it's going to be respected by you and by the other person, right? Whatever that is, that to me seems very important because what if I need all of these things, I communicate them. I just want to make sure that I can trust that the other person would respect that for me.
Absolutely.
And likewise, yeah.
Nandra, thank you so much for coming. I just wanted just to end, like, why would people need, or like, what is something that you think people get out of your book so we can encourage them to read it? So I think it's so, I literally, like, I was at the beach reading it, and I was like, you need to read this. Like, this is so easy to understand, like, what the types of limits, what happens if we don't. And I think in Spanish, we don't get this quality of information ever. Like, it's just, it's slowly starting to happen that, like, books that are so specific, like, of course we get the novels, but this is like work that will change your life. Like, these are like steps you can take to actually change your reality. So what is something that people get out of your book?
I think a very clear, easy to follow plan of what are boundaries, what areas you in particular need healthier boundaries, and then how to implement them, in uncomfortable situations, how to deal with that discomfort of setting them, and how to continuously practice setting boundaries.
Wow, beautiful. We appreciate your time. Thank you for coming with us. We value everything that you've done, your book, yes, but everything that you do through social media, you inspire us in many ways. So thank you so much.
Come back whenever you want, and you can find all of the information of Nandra in seregalandudas.com/suscríbete. Thank you so much.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.